we are in a series called So What? And it's been a very powerful series, and it's based off of the parable that Jesus taught about the seed and the sower. And if you didn't listen to the first one, go back and listen to the first one. Get on the app and go listen to it. It's so important that Jesus, it is included in three of the four Gospels, so it's very important because it was about how to really succeed as a Christ follower and live the kingdom and overcome. Not only to be in his eternal kingdom, because that's what we're all moving toward, but how do we bring that kingdom into this realm, and how does the believer overcome? And so he used the analogy of a farmer reaching into a bag and start scattering the seed inside the furrows, the crude furrows that he had prepared the soil. You remember that? And he's throwing seed, and some of the seed got on hard soil, and we'll talk about that later on in another teaching. The rocky soil, the thorny soil, and he talked about it, but he says where it needs to go is in fertile soil. The greatest productivity comes in fertile soil. And what did he say? They were asking, what is the meaning of this parable? And let's just go to Luke 8:11, and we're going to put it right there because this was the crux of what Jesus said first about the seed. He says, the meaning of the parable, the seed is God's what, everybody? His word. And Jesus is the word that dwelt among us. He became flesh. The word of God, he's saying, that is the parable. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. He talked about different kinds of soil. So here's what I've seen in my years as a pastor. The soil was the picture of the human heart. Soil can change. I've watched believers' soil that was once tender become rocky, thorny, and hard. Soil can change. But how many know the seed never changes? And my point is this, is that the word always works. And what Jesus was trying to teach in this parable is when you learn about the seed principle that he was talking about, and you start living the seed principle, your life, I guarantee it, your life will be transformed. The way you think, the way you process, the way you go through suffering, it will transform when you learn about it and you live what Jesus said about the seed and the sower. It will change. But remember, so many people focus on the seed and the sower when in fact Jesus spent more time not talking about the seed, the word of God, not even talking about the sower because he wasn't really good at what he did because it was going everywhere. We'll talk about that later. But he talked more about soil. So really this is also the parable, you remember as we taught last week, that it's the parable of the soil, and the soil was the human heart. Some hearts are hard to what God teaches in the gospel and what he teaches about life. Some are thorny, some are rocky, but he says, keep your heart tender. Keep your heart always tilled up to receive the seed so it can be fertile, so it can be productive. Because the problem is never the seed. The problem is never God's word. The problem is always the soil. Because it's not about what you sow as much as it about where you sow. You remember what I said? Come on, say it with me. Where I sow is as crucial as what I sow. So that means I've got to look for tender hearts, and sometimes you'll throw it on hard hearts and thorny hearts, but he says more importantly, you better keep your heart tender so that you can flourish in the kingdom of God. So if I want to flourish, two quick points this morning. Here's the first one. As a believer, you got to always welcome the seed. Can you say that with me? Welcome the seed. Now, you say, well, how do I welcome it? Here's how you welcome it. How many know that when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of the living God. I know that I'm a sinner, and without you, Father, I'm headed to an eternity of total destruction. I'm headed to a hell. But Father, I know I have eternal life, and not only a life abundant now, but an eternal abundant life when I ask you to be Lord of my life. How many know when you welcome Jesus, the seed dropped in you? Boom. And the scripture shows that in 1 Peter 1:23. You remember this from last week? For you have been born again, not of what, everybody? Seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. And you remember that word seed in the Greek? Those of you who weren't here last week, it is the Greek word spora. Spora is that one cell that starts that brings a whole new life to something. He said, when the seed of Jesus, that spora of Jesus, came in you, said, Jesus, I want you. You were born again. The old you was gone. The new life in Jesus Christ begins. All of your sin, all of your shame, all of that history was totally wiped out by the blood of Jesus. And the nature and the Spirit of God came into your spirit, and you became a brand new man, a brand new woman in Jesus Christ. Didn't make a difference how you felt, how you looked, what other people said. How many know you became the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ because his seed of salvation, Jesus Christ, came in your life. How many of you thank God for that right there? Amen? Now, the problem is you go, well, then if I am born again and God's nature came into me when I was born again, then why am I still doing some of this stuff? Or be careful that you're not judging people that the seed got in them. And you say, well, if they really were a believer, they'd start behaving like real Christians. The reason why is that the seed is in them. And in the Greek, what it implies here is that just like when a baby is born complete but immature. So that means babies mess themselves. That means babies cry a lot. That means babies are babies. And you don't get angry as a parent because you know this is the way a baby is. But when they're 16, and they still don't know to go to the bathroom, and they have the ability to do so, and they ought to be at least taking out the trash, it's time for you to have a conversation with that child because you know that everything was in them complete, but they're immature. This is the same way with believers. You are complete as a new man and a new woman in God. What you need is the capacity to grow. So how do I do that, Pastor? Here I am, Pastor. I'm a believer, but I still got this one hang-up that I am not dealing with. What needs to happen is the Word and the nature of God is already in you. It's time for you to welcome that Word and make it grow. So how do I do that? How do I welcome that seed and make it grow as a believer when I know I got these hang-ups, this attitude, this anger? I'm still a businessman and I'm cheating people in business and I speak in tongues. I'm telling you, you need to let the seed of God's nature get into that realm of your business life too. Or you lie a lot. You got to let the seed grow in you. The nature of God is in you. You're born again, but it's time to stop being immature. So what do I need to do? Let's go to James. James, under the power of the Holy Spirit, brings something so powerful that shows me how to grow as a believer in Jesus Christ. And here's what he says to Sam Reifkogel and to you. I don't care who you are or how long you've been serving God. This is what he says to us. James 1:21, and we're going to hang there, so just stay right there in that scripture, okay? He says, so get rid of all. The word all means all. Get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. And humbly accept the word God has what? Planted. So you're getting rid of something and you're replacing it with something else. He says, humbly accept the word of God planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. And this word accept there, that word accept, it literally means, are you ready for this? It means to make welcome. That's what it literally means, to welcome it. It really implies like somebody giving you a gift, and when you see the gift, you receive it with open arms. Open arms, you receive it. It literally means like when there's a welcome mat at the front door. Not when it says beware of dog. Not when it says no soliciting, but it's a welcome mat that really genuinely wants you to be there. Genuinely wants you to be there. That's what it literally means. And there are some believers that say, yes, I've welcomed Jesus into my heart, but no soliciting when you want to talk about how I handle my money or my sex life. He says, what you need to do to make it grow, listen close to this, is you need to welcome. But there was something even deeper in that Greek and even in that word picture of that word accept. Here's what it literally meant. It literally meant to allow someone to totally influence and dominate your home. Not just welcome them, but to let them have complete influence over the menu in the house And who gets to run the remote control in the house? I lost every man just now. It means to have total dominance in the house, to have complete influence and complete domination of the home. That's what the word accept meant there. Those of you that own a cat know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't own that cat. That cat owns you. It's going to do what it wants. I mean, you know, not like a dog. It's just like, imagine if a head of state or a leader of a nation or the Queen of England called you and said, my husband and I would like to have a real American experience, and we'd like to stay in your home. What would you do? Would you leave the sheets dirty that you have slept in all week? Would you leave the filth there in the dishes and just let the dishes pile up? No, you would say, honey, we're going to paint the house. We're going to do everything we have the power to do. Listen, I know we have a lot of money, but we do have a bucket of soap, and we can clean this floor. We can go get the carpet cleaned because we're going to let them have total influence. And you know what you're doing? You're going, what do you like? What do you like to drink? What do you like to eat? Are you gluten-free? What a minute, you vegetarian? What do you want? You have total dominance. And what God says is when you receive the word, if you really want to grow, he says you need to take what is planted in you and welcome it. Let it have complete influence and domination in every single issue of your life. But James, by the Holy Spirit, uses another word. It's the word planted. Everybody say planted. This is an interesting metaphor here. When doctors transplant an organ, they take an organ that is damaged. It is dying. They take it out and they transplant it with something brand new, and they transplant it. Here's what they do. Whenever there's a transplant, it's an amazing marvel of medicine. But what they do is the next 24 to 48 hours is the most crucial time for those doctors and for the person who has just received that new planted organ. Because what they're waiting for is to see, has this body accepted or rejected what has just been planted? And we've got to be careful of any type of infection that would make this new planted organ reject or accept it. God said when Jesus came into your life and then he gives you the seed of the word for any issue you face in life, he says it gets planted into your heart, and any sin is a bacteria or a virus that will affect what has just been put in you. So he says, what I need you to do is let the Spirit of God and the Word deal with the infection of your bitter spirit over the last church you were in, the last marriage you were in. I need you to take the doubt and unbelief of another believer that has now put doubt and unbelief in you about your marriage, about your money, about your healing, and you need to take my word and you need to let my Holy Spirit be that antibiotic to push and get rid of all filth and all evil that will reject this word implanted in you. Because what you do is you go, well, I still am the same way, and I ask God to take away this desire, and so I still feel the same way about this, so it must be God. But the word is contrary to that. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so what believers do is they're still dealing with the same stuff. You and I deal with the same stuff, but the problem is not the word. The word is never the problem. It is always the soil. So he says, your soil has to be able to cultivate those things out of your life so that what is planted in you can be accepted by the body. So, okay, you say, now, Pastor, well, how do I know whether I've accepted the implanted word of God? This is really easy. People are saying, how do I know that I've accepted the planted word of God, that it's not being rejected? It's so simple. This is so simple. You've welcomed the word, but how do we know that the organ is now working? How do we know? It's easy. You simply do what it says. You just start doing it, what it says. And any infection comes up, you go back and you start doing what the word says. So that doesn't mean just welcome the word. It takes me to my last point, is you've got to work that word. Don't tell me the word doesn't work. The word always works. We just don't work the word. Oh, Selah, come on, help me out here. Help a brother out. Okay, let's hang around in James chapter 1. Let's go on with this. So ask yourself, if there's something not working in an area, what am I allowing to reject what's been implanted? Okay? So here's, you got to work it. Verse 22, ready? Here's what he says. But don't just listen to God's word. You must, everybody say this two-letter word out loud with me. You must do what it says. Well, it's not changing yet. Doesn't matter if it hasn't changed. Just keep doing what it says. Otherwise, he says, if you don't, you're only fooling yourselves. Now, I'm going to read that scripture again in just a moment. You're only fooling yourself. So here's what I'm learning after all my years of serving Jesus Christ and my own walk with the Lord. And maybe you've discovered the same thing. That real faith doesn't mean you show up to church and listen and sing the songs. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad y'all are watching online. But real faith doesn't mean just listening to the Word of God, because a lot of people are listening to a lot of podcasts, but nothing's changing in them. It doesn't. Real faith is not taking notes. And I'm telling you, I'm impressed with how cool so many of you are with your app. Your kid thought you were a weirdo, but now they think you're cool because you are taking notes with your app. You're not a weirdo parent. You are taking notes with your app. But that doesn't create real faith. In fact, meditating, well, I get up every morning and I take a little scripture promise out of my precious promise box and I read it and I kind of think about it for a moment. Meditating is not real faith. Well, I can memorize scripture. Oh, I know heathens. We know of PhDs in secular universities that probably know more scripture than some of you that have been in church 50 years. So I know memorizing scripture doesn't do it. So it's not about taking notes. It's not even about attendance. It's not even about memorization. It's not even about meditating. Here's where real faith happens. It is so simple. You simply obey what he told you to do. And anytime you see that area rejecting again the implanted word, you go back and say, God, I'm going to go back and keep on doing it. Even if I haven't seen the changes, I'm going back to do it. Until my attitude stops, until I can really genuinely get over this, until I begin to see the blessing of God in my family, my marriage, I'm going to keep on doing the word. That's how you know whether you've accepted or rejected the implanted word of God. So look what he says. Verse 22, but don't just listen to God's word. Now, that word listen was a very important word because the Greeks loved to listen. I mean, they would pride themselves on how intellectual they were and their mental ascent. And what they would literally do is hours upon hours, they would just listen to people carry on about philosophy. They'd listen to singers, the latest artsy thing going on. They were so refined in this realm. But everybody knew that a lot of people would just listen to the lecture or the singer and simply listen to it, but they had no intention of acting on what the speaker had said. How many of you remember in college when you could audit a class? Remember what auditing a class was? You didn't have to pay as much as everybody else. Sometimes they didn't charge anything. But you could go in and listen. You could sign up for the class, listen to what's taught. You weren't even required to attend. You could just sleep in. You could show up in your flannel pajama bottoms if you wanted to. And you know what else you did? You didn't have to write a term paper like everybody else in the room. You didn't have to. And you didn't get a grade because you never took a test. And you could just show up and not be held accountable for anything you heard taught to you. That's the Greek word here. And my concern sometimes is too many of us as Jesus followers are simply people who are spiritually auditing the Word of God. Auditing. Can even repeat it and memorize it. But you still treat your husband without respect. And you still treat your wife in front of the kids as if she has no importance. Hearing, but never carrying out. Hearing, but never carrying out. See, too many church people come to church and they listen, take a few notes, but have no intention of applying really to my finances. I really don't believe that tithing thing is a New Testament thing. That thing about money. And never apply it. Never apply it. Yeah, we need to win the world, but never apply it. Don't even want to consider thinking about being a hero. That's not for me. Oh, the need is all around you, and just be a friend. Never even consider it. There's no life change. When it comes to God's word, you either use it or you lose it. And you say, well, what's the difference? Here's the difference. It's the difference of going into Outback Steakhouse and you smell the smells, and you see people smiling and people not even coming up a breath because it's so delicious, and you go, oh, that's amazing. And you pull up, you get in the bench, honey, what do you want? What do you want? Here's the menu, you see the menu, you see the pictures. You go, oh, that's great. And you order and order and order and order, and then you walk out. That's people spiritually auditing the Word of God. It's like getting the prescription. The doctor says, here, let me tell you what's happening. You can go to as many counseling sessions. You can see as many marriage counselors as you want. And they keep giving you the prescription from the Word of God. But if you never take the pill, it's like going to the Walgreens pharmacy. You get it. You see the instructions. And you set it on the counter. But you don't know why you're still in pain. It's hearing and hearing and hearing. But never, if you want to know if it's been accepted or rejected, Dad, just do what it says. Until you see things changing. Amen. And when you see things changing, you keep on keeping that soil fertile. How many grabbing a hold of this? Oh my goodness, this is where the Church of America is. This is where the Church of America is. We got baptized pagans all over in churches this morning. Do you hear what I said? We have baptized pagans all over the body of Christ. And then it just turns off a world that simply audits the Word of God. So when the test comes, well, I guess God doesn't really, that's really not what God said, because it really doesn't work. Let's go on to James 1:22. It says, but you must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. And here's what fooling really means there. It means you think you're something that you're really not. You're really not. You're just a knockoff Gucci bag. You're a knockoff Rolex. And you know how we know it? When you got a knockoff Rolex on? Because when you lift your hands to worship, you got this green thing around your wrist. A lot of knockoffs, but he says you're only fooling yourself. And here's what's Jesus' concern. And I don't want to get this place where I'm always afraid. Not that, but it's simply this, Sam. Don't make this hard. If you want to know if the Word is working, Sam, you just keep doing it. And when you detect an infection, you keep on deferring back to doing it. Because eventually that infection's going to come and it's going to receive the implanted Word of God. In every issue of life. Can somebody say amen to that? And Jesus was so concerned about that he looked at those crowds of people, the religious crowd that would hear but never actually carry out what God intended. And look what he said in Matthew 7:20. He says, not everyone who calls out on me, because we're all going to stand before God one day. You remember this earth is not, this is all testing ground, right? He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually what? Do. Just keep doing it. The will of my Father in heaven will enter. And he goes on to say, this is how deluded you can get when you stop just simply doing. He said, there are going to be people that prophesy. Do you realize there are going to be people, men and women, who prophesy, and people thought they were so super wonderful, but behind the scenes, they were really the knockoff Gucci? And Jesus detects it. He said, but we did miracles. Do you realize that there are people that actually lay hands on the sick and they're going to rise from the dead, blind eyes open, and they're not going to make it, is what he's saying, because behind the scenes, they were just a knockoff Gucci? He did many works. Do you know that people are going to build big parachurch ministry organizations, and we're going, whoa, that wigs me out. We're shocked right now. How could that happen? Wait a minute, that person leads us. And God says, what I do is I'll expose the infection because I love you so much. I want the implanted Word to show you can be changed and transformed by it. So don't sit here with guilt. Sit here and go, God, that's what I want. I'm going to go back to doing. I'm going to return to my first love. What was his always to the church? Return, return, return. Just keep going back to doing it. When you see it happen, don't sit there and let the devil browbeat you and put you in condemnation. Get back to doing just what he said. In every issue of your life, in the dating life, in the work life, in your marriage life, in every issue, your money, your finances, your thoughts, your mind, everything, go back. James simply says, just do what it says. And look what he says in verse 23. He says, for if you listen to the Word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look what, everybody? You look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free. In other words, the Word of God. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for what? Doing it. Even when you're not perfected, he sees you going back to do it, going back, going back, going back to do it. He says, I'll bless you, and watch the blessing and the fruit start happening of the seed you planted. So how many know what the Bible says? He's telling you is that the Bible has a mirror ministry. I don't know about the rest of you, but how many just dread sometimes getting in the morning and looking the first look of your face in the mirror in the morning? Because you know what I've discovered about mirrors? Mirrors are ruthless and they are brutal. And you know what the truth is that my mirror would not lie to me this morning. It's probably the most honest person to me is my mirror. You got bags under your eyes, Sam. My mirror doesn't treat Binda differently from treating me. It treats us all the same. In fact, you know, when you preach a word like this, people go, well, I don't go to that church anymore. That guy's just too hard. Maybe you got too soft. No, I'm just serious, just for a moment. I'm just going to tell you, this. Listen, when you straight up with people about the Word of God, when you straight up with them, did you know that Jesus was called the Rock of Offense? And we don't go around, I didn't get up this morning and say, let me see who I can pick on this morning. I just want to tick everybody. I didn't get up that way this morning. But the Word of God is a mirror, and it doesn't care. My mirror didn't care about my feelings this morning. Oh, I wish to God I could have put a filter like I do on my apps on the phone that take away my wrinkles, take away my bags. I wish there'd have been a filter on my mirror, but my mirror doesn't play games like that. Now, there's some places that'll be spiritual apps for you that'll make you feel good about things and not be honest with you. So that's why the ultimate thing is you go to the Word, because it'll tell you the truth. And that truth really is what liberates you. Mirrors don't play favorites. They don't put a filter. And when I get in the Word every day, what it does, it applies the antibiotic to the thing that's trying to reject the Word. I cannot tell you how many things the devil can put in my family's mind right now. I cannot tell you enough. Some of you know because you walk through that. And if you don't get the antibiotic of his worship and his word and his presence, that thing will dominate you. It will manipulate you. And it's not just that, it's in any realm of your life. So what do I got to do? He says, look carefully into the mirror or you're going to forget what God said about that, even when you don't feel it right. You got back, keep going back to the mirror of the Word of God. Watch yourself grow. I'm gonna close like this, okay? I'm gonna close like this. Here it is. Ladies, we need to take a cue from you on how to use a mirror. Because Brenda uses a mirror differently than I use a mirror. I get up, do it once, I'm off to the races and I don't care. No, I'm serious. Girls, we need to take a cue from you because that's what this is talking about. I use one mirror. Brenda uses two. There's not just one in the front, right, girls? There's one in the back. Why? Because you don't want a hole in your hair. Girls, am I telling the truth? Right? Right? I don't care what my backside looks like. I just want to make sure there's no gravy right here. I got to go preach. I don't care what you see behind me. Seriously. He says, look carefully into it. No. Ladies, the way you treat it is an object lesson in the way I should behave and every believer should behave spiritually. You get up in the morning, you're going, oh, man. Then, oh, no. You just don't want the one in the bathroom. No, you got to have a magnified 1,000x mirror. Am I lying or am I telling the truth, girls? You want that bad boy magnified. Oh, dear Jesus, what am I going to do? This stuff will fix my wrinkles and nobody even notices. What are you consumed? What are you consumed with? You know what you're consumed with? Beauty. And there's not a thing wrong with that. You want to be the best. And that's exactly the point. And you're looking, you're magnifying. And then you get all done up and you've done all the mirrors. And then, oh, wait a minute. Let me show how important beauty is to you. After you've worked on that, listen, you got it last night. You had your dress laid out. You had it ironed out. You knew exactly what you're going to do. You're checking to make sure no other lady's wearing the same thing you're wearing this morning. You're looking that you'll never pull that thing. You're looking for everything because you want beauty. Don't tell me I'm not lying. You know I'm telling the truth. Stay with me. And then after Brenda does everything and she looks drop-dead gorgeous, she will come to me and says, do you like what I'm wearing? Does this really look good on me? You think I should change to the other thing? She is consumed with her groom's drawing to her beauty. She didn't dress for any of you other men. I'm sorry. She dressed for me today. The way she takes care of herself, believe me, I think she looked at me. Oh no, you're deluded. She wasn't winking. She got an eyelash caught, okay? She not interested in you, brother. She's doing it for me. And then she wants to know my opinion. After the mirror spoke to her, she wants to get so accountable that she'll talk to another brother. You'll talk to another brother or another sister in the small group and say, did I respond right? What do you think? You know, and then you're not hurt and you're not offended when the mirror comes up to you that really loves you and tells you the truth and says, you know what? Can I talk to you about something? Because I believe that this thing could really be detrimental to your spiritual walk with God. Or do you just go to another church or another small group? Or do you just want to deal with the realities that mirrors don't tell lies? How am I doing? No, you don't need to tell me. You don't need to tell me. Oh, no. No, Larry, it's not one and done. I'm good. Uh-uh. Not with mom. It's different. Here's what they do. They get in the magnified mirror, then they're all done. But the moment they get in the car, when they're up there acting like it's a safety issue that they're looking in the rearview mirror, has nothing to do with safety. They could care if the dog gets run over. It's not safety. It's, do I still look the same? Am I perspiring too much? Then they got to pull down the visor. Oh, it's not for the sun. It's to flip that bad boy up and check again. They are constantly checking. You go to work. You're burping. No, no. Not her. She comes to work. You know, the first place she go to, she goes to the ladies' room. Not because she's got to go to the ladies' room. She got to go in the mirror to make sure everything is all right before she goes sits down. And it's not just once. It's through the whole day. Oh, don't lie to me, girls. When you go to your high school, you're sitting. You got mirrors. You got your mirrors in your locker. You got mirrors everywhere. You go in the bathroom. I gotta make sure I look good because you're trying to find you're trying to find, if you will, that groom, that knight in shining armor. That's what you're consumed with. Your phone, the greatest bit of your phone, you care less about the apps. You want to look at that selfie camera to make sure I got it together before Rico Suave comes down the hallway. And when you take that picture, oh, that picture's about beauty. That picture's about beauty, isn't it? It's about beauty. You're not standing there like this. Turn sideways, hike that leg up, put it like this, and you'll look thin. Oh, well, stretch your neck out because of that goozle that's hanging down. You know what you're consumed with? You're trying to find you a man. You're trying to impress a groom. How about you and I? Be like the Word says that we are so looking carefully into it. That when doubt and unbelief gets in my spirit, I ask the groom, is this right? Get the right image in my mind about who I am. I do not need Hollywood. I do not need any next celebrity to tell me how to dress, tell me how I look, tell me how I look, groom, tell me how I look, tell me how I look. And then when I check in the mirror, how am I doing business? Did I cheat? Did I inflate that number in business? Did I really inflate that? Or am I a dishonest person that speaks in tongues? What am I really doing here? How did I do this? Do I really love everybody, or just a certain select group of people that I want to hang out with my group and my group? Or do I really love people? Or do I have to find the next morsel of something defective and wrong with somebody because they're still someone that just has a seed in them and they're a baby, but they need to mature? Or am I just nailing everything, but not really trying to find a way? How can I develop them to grow? And he says, no, don't fool yourself. He says, go look in that mirror and do it for one reason. Not to show everybody how spiritual you are, or even to win a nation to the Lord or a neighbor to the Lord. Do it because you just love your groom so much. You want to look your best. And you know what? When you're sitting there consumed with trying to knock her out and she's trying to knock you out with beauty, everybody else goes around, I think she's lost some weight. I wonder where she bought that dress. I need to go shop at that church, that store, because that looks good on her. I bet that looked good on me. You want to win them? Don't try to be legalistic and religious and prove to me how holy you are. Just ask your groom, I'm going to look in the mirror. What can I do to attract you to me one more time, God, because of all you gave to me? Let it grow. Come on, everybody. How about ready to grow? Let's grow. Let's grow. Come on, let's grow. Let's show the beauty in our worship. Let's show the beauty in our life because we're getting attractive for him. Come on, let's stand together and let's bless his name. Come on, let's worship him for a moment.